Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Wendy Gillette in New York. The House is on a break as Republicans meet trying to figure out what to do next after six unsuccessful votes to elect a speaker.
No member-elect having received the majority of the votes cast, a speaker has not been elected. For what purpose does the gentleman from Oklahoma rise?
I move that we adjourn until 8 o'clock this evening.
CBS News correspondent Scott McFarlane on the chaos on Capitol Hill.
A fourth, fifth, and sixth vote for U.S. House Speaker. And for the second day, Kevin McCarthy of California is not making headway with this breakaway faction of 20 House Republicans who say they will not vote for him and will not bend. House Democrats, meanwhile, are unified in their vote. Hakeem Jeffries of New York, but without a majority, nobody's prevailing, and the marathon continues.
President Biden headed to Covington, Kentucky to remind Americans about the bipartisan infrastructure bill that's now paying off and giving a busy bridge a makeover.
There are bright spots across the country. The Brent Spence Bridge is one of them, a bridge that continues and connects different centuries, different states, different political parties.
California Governor Gavin Newsom has already signed a statewide emergency declaration ahead of storms that could bring major floods.
Officials are sounding the alarm.
This may be one of the most challenging and impactful series of storms.
Nancy Ward is director of the Office of Emergency Services. The area likely to get hit the hardest is the San Francisco Bay Area. This is what it's sounding like there. Here in Southern California, the big concern is potential mudslides and people getting trapped in rivers of water. Alex Rodriguez is with L.A. County Fire.
Our paramedic squads are equipped, so we're ready for swift water rescue.
And along with the rain will come strong winds. Steve Futterman, CBS News.
There's another kind of water problem in one Mississippi city.
Much of Jackson, Mississippi has been without running water since Christmas Eve. Jeff Good owns a Jackson restaurant that was finally able to reopen on Monday. It had to close again Tuesday because of fluctuating water pressure.
The only way that a business can keep on paying its bills is by taking revenue in. If we're closed, we can't take in revenue.
All public schools in Jackson have switched to virtual learning because of little or no water pressure. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
The mastermind of the Varsity Blues college admission scandal was sentenced. Rick Singer will spend 3.5 years in prison. U.S. Attorney Rachel Rollins.
This is not how the process should work. And that is precisely why this investigation and prosecution was so important.
The Dow finished up 133 points. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Do you know what people see when they Google you? Search engines don't always get it right. And when they're wrong, it's your reputation on the line. So what do you do when you don't agree with your search results? Call Reputation Defender at 800-401-6681. Reputation Defender by Norton is one of the most trusted names in online reputation repair. We have over a decade of experience in fixing people's search results, and we can help you too. Using cutting-edge approaches, Reputation Defender pushes unflattering information down to lower pages of your search results, where few people ever look. We also promote the good stuff so that it rises to the top, letting you put your best foot forward. Your good name is too valuable to leave to the whims of a Google algorithm. You owe it to yourself to take control with Reputation Defender. Visit www.reputationdefender.com or call 800-401-6681 for free advice on your situation. 800-401-6681. That's 800-401-6681.
What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director, James, and head of production, Seth, will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's art supporting artists in their own words.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Snow likely tonight, otherwise cloudy skies expected. Lows dip down to about 30, winds out of the east around 5 miles per hour. Snow likely tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 32.
On the Badger Sports Network from Learfield, this is the Wisconsin Hockey Hour, brought to you by Monk's Bar and Grill, Wisconsin grown, Wisconsin proud. Monk's Bar and Grill is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. Now, here's your host, the voice of Badger Hockey, Brian Posick.
Good evening, hockey fans, and welcome to the Wisconsin Hockey Hour. I'm Brian Posick. The Wisconsin men's hockey team returns to the Kohl Center this weekend for a Big Ten series with Notre Dame. Face-off Friday at 7, Saturday at 5:30 on the Badger Sports Network. Last week at the second annual Quick Trip Holiday Face-off in Milwaukee, the Badgers blanked Lake Superior State 4-0, but came up short in their bid to repeat as champions. They lost to Clarkson 3-1. Jared Moe was named the most outstanding goaltender of the tournament, but the Badgers fell to 8-12. Head coach Tony Granato will recap the event at 5-serve form and look ahead to the Fighting Irish here in just a few moments. Meanwhile, the UW women's hockey team kicked off the second half of the season with a top-five showdown in Hamden, Connecticut. New Year's Eve, Lacey Eden and Britta Curl scored about a minute apart in the third period of the Badgers' 3-0 victory at Quinnipiac. Cammie Cronish with her fifth shutout of the year. Bobcats took the finale on New Year's Day 3-0. Mark Johnson's squad is 16-3-1 overall, resumes WCHA play with a Saturday-Sunday series at LeBron Arena against Minnesota Duluth. And Mark will join us a little bit after 7:30. But we bring in Wisconsin men's hockey coach Tony Granato after the Quick Trip Holiday Face-Off second edition. Rick Giles and the group with the Gazelle Group and Pfizer Forum, Quick Trip, another great event. And the good news I got from Rick over the week, last week, was originally it was a three-year contract, and then see how it plays out. Well, they liked the way it went the first year. They liked the way it went the second year. Now it's a rolling three-year contract. So this tournament's going to be in Milwaukee for years to come. I think that's great.
Yeah, that's exciting. And I think that, you know, we knew going back, you know, when we agreed to the tournament a couple years ago, it was something that we had to have on our schedule. We knew it would be exciting for not only our players in the university, but obviously our fans in Milwaukee. And to get a chance to play in Pfizer Forum, you know, once a year is a special place to go to. You put in an NHL rink inside of that place and get to play in that stadium. It's pretty special for our players. And all of the teams that have come in from out of town have all raved about, hey, we want to be invited back. So they've all enjoyed it as well. And it's been a great tournament, both of them.
Yeah. What did you think of the tournament as a whole for your club?
Well, the first game, you know, it started a little bit slow. We hadn't played in a couple weeks. You know, you got to remember our kids. We played Minnesota December 8th and 9th or 9th and 10th, and then finals were the week after, and then you go into the Christmas. So we hadn't been on the ice up until the day after Christmas. So we got a couple of short practices in and then jumped into that game. I thought it took a little bit for us to get going, but we played really solid defensively. We gave Jared a chance to be great, and that's what, you know, when you got a goalie like Jared and you want to give him the opportunity to be great. And to do that, you got to be smart as far as how you play in front of them. You got to let them see pucks. You got to clear out and take care of rebounds. And you got to play 5-on-5. And I thought for the most part, we did a really good job to make him be great on the first game. The second game, Clarkson was a team that was big and physical. They protected their net really, really well. We had our chances, especially early in the game. I thought there were opportunities for us to get going offensively. We let their goalie get into the game a little bit, and he was probably the difference maker in the game. But all in all, it was a really solid tournament for us. We missed a few players. We had two defensemen playing forward in LeMaster and Donovan. Mm-hmm. They both did a really good job when we asked them to do that. So there were lots of performances that were great. I thought, and let's point out Sam Stang's performance in both games.
Excellent.
You know, he scored the one game.
Had four or five chances in the Clarkson game. He just looked like a different player, a more confident, relaxed player that was, you know, and I think he's in the best spot for a big second half for us.
Confident, too. And maybe that's come – he's been a key part of your improved penalty kill, and maybe he's gained confidence from that and just feels like, all right, you know, I'm ready to play, and I'm playing the way I need to.
Yeah, and I think he's just settled into that role.
Sure.
We've needed him at center in that series or the two games because Strammel's out. We had Horback out, so we needed him a little bit more on the PK side of things. But he just seems to just be gaining confidence. Mm-hmm. I think, he's one of those guys that we expect to score, and we have. And that hasn't – the offensive production hasn't, you know, gotten to where we think it can get to. But with the way he's skating now, I think that he's got, you know, like a chance to break out here in the second half.
Tony, you mentioned Charlie Strammel didn't play in Milwaukee. He's with the United States at the World Junior Championship in Nova Scotia, the U.S. playing Canada in the semifinals as we speak. So good luck to Charlie and Team USA. You also lost a couple of kids at the semester break. Mm-hmm. He decided that, I'll let you explain, Caden Brown and Braden Morrison elected to go back to the USHL. That's where Caden had played, and Braden was up north in the BC League. And two young men that, they show up every day for practice. They're young, didn't have a lot of playing time in the previous years because of COVID. And so the decision for them to leave was what?
Just that, to play more. They were at both, Braden Morrison, I'll speak of on first. You know, he hadn't, I think he only played in one game so far this year. Last year he got into some games, but was limited action. Mm-hmm. And he's loving school, loving being part of our team. Didn't mind being, a depth guy. But at the end of the day, if he was going to be stuck in that position, he thought going back and playing juniors and getting some ice time and some more experience would help him in the long run. And I think that was a really good, plan for him. And he's off to a good start in Dubuque, which is great to see.
And a goal and assist his first game in the USHL. That's pretty good.
So that's great. We're going to cheer for him and hope he continues to fill the net. And then Caden Brown was a little bit different because he had, lots more games and opportunities to play here. It just never clicked for him as far as getting going offensively. He came in as an offensive player, and the numbers offensively just weren't coming the way he thought and the way we thought. And, he made the decision to leave and go try to regain his offensive confidence and go back to the USHL. So we wish the kids, both of them, good luck. They were here. They did it. Really good job for us in the classroom and practice. Great kids, and we want to see them do well.
Yeah, Caden had a couple of assists in his first games with Waterloo in the USHL. You mentioned Jack Horbach, the freshman who was unavailable last week because of mononucleosis. He was skating a little bit during the skills session of practice yesterday, so hopefully he'll return soon. And we saw Ty Smolanic out on the ice, too. He's back with your club. He played the first six games for you, potted a goal in that big series sweep up at Minnesota Duluth. Good to have him back. Don't know what all the circumstances were around it, but he looks happy, and he's flying around the ice.
Yeah, he is. He looks good. We're hoping he'll be available for us this weekend. We won't know until game time, really, on Friday, but we're hoping he's available. Like you said, he's a guy that when we brought him in here, we expected someone to come in and help us offensively. He had 27
goals in 2 years.
College hockey, and he's a great skater, so he would be a big piece, moving forward, especially with some of the guys that are now out of our lineup. We mentioned Horback. Mm-hmm. Horback was as good and consistent as any one of our players in the first half of the year. Came up with mono over break, and it'll be a couple weeks before he'll return, but he certainly has had a great start to his college career. So on the Smolanic return, this is a great time for him to come back, with Strammel, mm-hmm. potentially not playing one of the games this weekend because he'll play back-to-back games at the World Juniors. So if we play him Friday, Saturday, he'll play four and four nights. I don't really want to put him in a position like that. So he'll probably just play one of the games this weekend. So from a a depth standpoint, you need players to step in. And in last week we had, Robbie Newton, we haven't mentioned yet.
Milwaukee kid, sure.
That played his first two games as a Badger, came in and did a really good job for us going up and down the wing and playing solid defensively and added a little bit of spark to our lineup. He'll be in the lineup this weekend as well. And then, Smolonic would be a nice piece to add this weekend. So hopefully he'll be ready.
Yeah, when you think about the grand scheme of things in the first half, the record's not what you want. But there's some things to build on and some optimism that, hey, we can get this thing going in the right direction here.
Well, I'm certainly feeling that way.
Yeah.
I mean, we ended on a little bit of a sour note from the standpoint that we lost, our last three, one game here against Michigan when we were 2-2 late, and then the two at Minnesota, but I think the Minnesota scores weren't indicative of really some of the play that we, had during that weekend. There was lots of that segments of those games where we were in control of it and felt really good about how we played, but they just had better scores. And when the play game was on the line, they made the play and went in our net. And no matter how well you play, or feel like you play, if you don't win at the end of the game, it's just not good enough. And that's kind of where we left that weekend. But there were, the guys left in really good spirits. I think they feel good about, where we're at as a group. They feel confident that the second half could be big. And it starts off this weekend against Notre Dame. So we're looking forward to getting going again here at the Kohl Center. It's always good playing at the Kohl Center. We obviously miss our students because we're on break.
Yep.
But it gives us opportunity for lots of other fans around the Christmas break and the excitement of hockey now, second half of the year. Hopefully we'll have a good crowd and exciting weekend for us.
Love to see you at the Kohl Center this weekend. Again, Friday night's game against Notre Dame starts at 7, Saturday's finale at 5:30. More with Tony Granato in a moment. This is the Wisconsin Hockey Hour from Learfield.
Hi, I'm Sean Cleary. I'd like to take a quick 30 seconds and talk to you about the most important part of a Cleary building, the foundation. Without it, you won't be able to stand the test of time. At Cleary, our foundation is made up of some truly amazing people. Our Cleary family rises to the challenge every day, and it shows when that shamrock is applied. So if you are looking for a new challenge in our all-new corporate office or out on the construction site, join the Cleary family today by clicking on careers@clearybuilding.com.
Wisconsin sports are superior. Last season, Badger basketball was number one in the Big Ten. Football, number one in the conference for total defense. And hockey, still one of the best of all time with 6 championships. At UW Health, we're no different. We're proud to also be your home team with number one rankings, like number one for orthopedics in Wisconsin, ready to treat any sports injury, and number one hospital in the state, delivering award-winning care every day so Wisconsin can keep on winning. UW Health. Remarkable.
Bedroom too hot? Basement too cold? A MyDia ductless system is the perfect solution for room-by-room comfort control without the headache of a major renovation. As you look for ways to maximize your space, MyDia can provide you with a customizable solution to meet your needs. To learn more, visit MyDiaMidwest.com. That's M-I-D-E-A Midwest.com. Proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
Where can you find the best seats in the house on game day if you can't be at the actual game? Monk's Bar & Grill will always have you covered with more than 20 flat-screen TVs, great food options for every age, and an atmosphere that can't be beat for Badger fans. Outside of the stadium, it's the next best experience you can have on a Badger game day. With 6 locations throughout Wisconsin, Monk's Bar & Grill is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
Hey Badger fans, American Family Insurance wants to give you and one friend a VIP experience at a Badger football or basketball game during the 2023 season. With pregame sideline or courtside passes, a tour of the facility, and tons of merchandise, it'll be an extra great day to be a Badger. Enter today at amfam.com/badgers. No purchase necessary. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk.
Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at ZeroInWisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
This is the Wisconsin Hockey Hour. Badgers back at the Kohl Center to play Notre Dame Friday and Saturday. Hope you join us. Otherwise, you can listen on the Badgers Sports Network. Friday's game, by the way, on Bally Sports Wisconsin. Saturday on the Big Ten Network. And Tony, I wanted to ask you a little bit about the young man with the Buffalo Bills who suffered cardiac arrest on Monday night during the Bills game against the Cincinnati Bengals. Damar Hamlin, only 24 years old, played his college football at Pittsburgh. From all accounts, a very likable young man. You know, we all pray that he recovers, makes a full recovery. Whether he plays football again or not, who knows? But just have a healthy life is what we're all hoping for this young man. There are inherent dangers when it comes to playing sports, and even more so at the professional level with the size and strength and speed we now see each and every game, whether it's on the gridiron, a basketball court, a hockey rink. There are inherent dangers, and we saw that on Monday night.
We did, and I suppose as an athlete, you know, I just remember going through my career, I don't think you ever think of that happening. Obviously, you see it every now and then, and there's that thing, oh my gosh, kind of one of those moments where it kind of brings you back to realization that it could happen and that it, you know, is going to happen at some point in the future. And, you know, when you see an injury like that, you like you said, you pray for the young man, that, you know, and then you do... You know, you get connected with him and his family, and you look at all the videos, and you look at him before the game, running up and giving his mom a hug before the start of that game, and you look at the toy drive thing that he set up for all the youth kids in the air, and you realize, holy cow, there's a special human being behind that equipment underneath that helmet, and that part of it is the real part of it, that sometimes, you know, you get lost in your heroes and think that they're just athletes, and you forget the personal part of really who they are and how special they can be outside of their equipment, and I think that's what was what I've been looking at since the injury is how wonderful of a person he seems to be, and like you say your prayers and you're waiting for the good news that he's going to be okay and be able to explain and come out of it and go to a podium and have a press conference and what I've really enjoyed about this whole part of it is the people outside and the fans that are waiting outside of the Bills Stadium, waiting outside of the hospital.
And since the Bengals
somebody
fans,
having
yeah.
enough courage to go on national TV and say a prayer on ESPN.
Dan Orlovsky.
And those type of things kind of remind us what life's all about, and kind of give us an opportunity to kind of, take a pause I guess learn from what happened and hope and pray that we get a chance to give this guy a hug someday and a high five and send him a little note to say, we were one of the millions and millions of people that were praying for you. And so that's a hard one. It's a hard one to talk about.
It is. Chris Pronger, former NHL All-Star back in the late 90s.
Barry Fisher went down
another
on the
one.
Bench.
Sure. There was a high school hockey player in the Fond du Lac area in the late 80s who unfortunately died after taking a slap shot to the chest as he laid down to block the shot. I mean, Pronger sent out, hopefully his outcome, Damar Hamlin's outcome, is the same as mine, where his heart, he went into cardiac arrest after taking a shot to the chest. So you see what the Buffalo Sabres, Donnie Granato's Buffalo Sabres did, all the young men showing up for their game last night wearing a number 3 jersey. Just the outpouring of love is remarkable. And you mentioned he's got the Chasing M's Foundation Community Toy Drive, which he set up. The original goal was $2,500. It surpassed $6 million today. And so it obviously this has caught the attention of people – not just sports fans, just people in general, you know?
And I got to be honest with you, there's so much animosity towards different sides of whatever is going on in the world right now and in life in the United States. It's nice to see that when something like this happens, that people can get, back to being and realizing what it's all about. And
normal, decent human beings?
Yes. And I don't want to be critical, and I don't want to go back and use this as something. But again, we're all, you know, looking forward to the day that this becomes a really positive story, you know, because it was hard for anyone, football fan, hockey player, athlete, you know, someone that just turned the TV on and just sees what's happening, to have to you know, go to bed that night and wonder, oh my gosh, is this young man going to be okay? Mm-hmm. And hopefully that day will come when we can celebrate his return to, you know, coming down the stairs from the hospital to have his press conference to say, wow, what the heck just happened? And, sure. And why are all these people here to wave to me? And then, then for him to see what was raised for his foundation, I look forward to him hopefully celebrating that moment.
Yeah, me too. Well said. Before we let you go, you've got an outdoor skate on Sunday.
Oh, yes,
Edgewater Hotel.
Do.
Yeah, 10 to 11 o'clock at the Edgewater Sunday. Come meet the Badgers, skate with the Badgers. Right there off of Lake Mendota. That's fun.
We've had some cold ones in the past. I hope, but there's good hot chocolate there as well. So if it is cold, it'll be okay. There's good hot chocolate.
You love the hot chocolate.
I do.
Yeah, there are skate rentals available for $3. Bring your own skates, but skate with the Badgers at the Edgewater Hotel Sunday from 10 to 11. Second half of the season, Tony, 14 games in a row against nationally ranked teams. The Big Ten is really good this year, isn't it?
Outstanding. Yeah. I mean, it really is. We've bragged about it for years. I think this is the one year that you know, all the teams, especially Michigan State, kind of getting recharged with Adam there. They're legit, and this is one of those years at the end of the day and the Final Four or Frozen Four, you might see four Big Ten teams with the way that our league's going, and we got to figure out a way on how to play well the second half, give ourselves a chance in the playoffs, and know that you know, the work that we put in this point has hopefully set us up for a big second half.
All right, good luck. Thanks.
Thanks, Brian.
Sure, that's Badgers head coach Tony Granato. Again, Wisconsin and Notre Dame Friday at 7, Saturday at 5:30 on the Badgers Sports Network. We'll hear from Badgers coach, women's hockey coach Mark Johnson in just a moment. Also, we'll hear from Wisconsin senior goaltender Jared Moe. This is the Wisconsin Hockey Hour from Learfield.
Lights, camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win two value baskets and two concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
Here's to Wisconsin winter traditions, celebrated year after year.
Hey, check this out.
To lighting up a frosty night with fireworks at Fish Creek Winterfest. Here's to cheering 8,000 skiers across the finish line at the American Birkie Beiner in Hayward. And to snow sculpting magic at Winterfest in Lake Geneva. Plan your winter getaway at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. How do you locate a support group for widows or housing for an elderly parent? United Way's 211 is free and confidential and provides answers to these questions and more. Dial 211 for community information and referrals, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Wisconsin enjoys a rich history in broadcasting, which we celebrate at the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame. I'm Michelle Betterkind, president of the WBA. We honor those who have devoted their careers to serving their local communities as legendary broadcasters. They are personalities, owners, engineers, and educators. It's an experience that's free for all to enjoy. Visit the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame, located inside the Milwaukee Hilton City Center.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Snow likely tonight, otherwise cloudy skies expected. Lows dip down to about 30, winds out of the east around 5 miles per hour. Snow likely tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 32, cloudy skies expected. Overcast skies tomorrow night, chance for snow showers, lows around 15. About an inch of snow tonight through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 33.
Well, as we start the second half of the college hockey season, Minnesota's on top of the Big Ten standings, 10-2 in league play with 30 points, Penn State with 21 points, Michigan State with 20, then Ohio State 15, Notre Dame 13, Michigan 12, and Wisconsin 3. Michigan State plays at Ohio State this weekend. Michigan has an exhibition game against the U.S. under-18 team Friday night, and Minnesota has a non-conference home-and-home series Saturday and Sunday against St. Cloud State. Badgers hope to start the second half of the Big Ten season strongly, and they're looking forward to the play of goaltender Jared Moe, who was really good last weekend at the Quick Trip Holiday Face-Off in Milwaukee. I had a chance to talk with Jared earlier this week.
Well, Jared, you were the most outstanding goaltender of the Quick Trip Holiday Face-Off last week, only allowed 2 goals in 2 games, pitched a shutout in the opener against Lake Superior State, but kind of bittersweet because I know you wanted that team trophy, didn't you?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, winning it last year, we kind of had something to prove there, to come back and defend our championship, and we just came up a little short there.
Yeah. In the finale against Clarkson, which had rallied to beat UMass the night before, down 3 and winning 6-3, they had a young man by the name of Matthew Goslin who scored a hat trick. Well, early on in your championship game against Clarkson, here comes Goslin on a breakaway. How do you handle a breakaway as a goaltender?
Yeah, I think it's a lot about reading what the guy's doing, where he's looking, a lot about the pressure that's on him too, I think. If he has someone like, you know, draped over his back, he's not really going to be able to deke. He's going to have to get a shot off. So it's a lot of reading the situation that goes into it. And I mean, if you know guys, like when we play teams, if I know guys, I might have seen their moves before or something like that. But with them being Clarks, we don't play them too much. And that one, I read that it was a shot and. Yeah, try to make the most of it.
Yeah, and I suppose, do you try to make the first move, or I suppose you wait for the shooter to make the first move, right?
Yeah, generally you wait and see what they're going to do, and, you know, to try not to bite too hard on the first one, because usually they're going to make more than one unless it's a shot. But, yeah, it's just trying to stay patient, stay with it, and stay over the puck.
Yeah, it was a beautiful save. I know late in the game, Wisconsin pulled you for an extra attacker trying to tie the game late against Clarkson. What's that like? Because, you have to make sure the puck is in a certain area before you come to the bench for the extra attacker.
Yeah, I mean, that a lot of that's in Tony's hands. I'm kind of looking at him, and he kind of gives me the wave of when to come. You kind of know in those games, once it gets inside that three-minute mark, that you should start looking and start creeping out a little bit when you get the puck. And so that's kind of what I do. I try to get to as close as I can without losing my net there and creep out to the top of the circles. And once I get the wave, I go.
Yeah, similar to a delayed penalty, too, although you have to be careful. We've twice now in the last 2 years, one of your teammates has put it in your own net.
Yeah, that's never happened to me in my hockey career, and then it's happened twice here. So, yeah, you definitely don't want that to happen. It's a little less risky on a delayed penalty because they can't touch it, but I guess it can still go in our net.
Yeah. Jared, you know, unfortunately, your squad hasn't been able to put the puck in the net as consistently as everybody would like. Does that put a little bit more pressure on you?
In some moments, I think so, but I think it's more about just sticking with it. And, you know, if we can score 3 goals a game or 2 goals a game and play really well defensively, we're gonna win some hockey games. So I think it's all about how we play as a team effort. If we're playing well defensively, obviously, we're probably going to win some games doing that. But if we don't or we have some lapses, then it's going to be tough to win those close, low-scoring games.
Yeah, to piggyback off that, though, if you give up only one even-strength goal in the game, that should be enough. And I think that's one of the things you can take away from that tournament in Milwaukee. All right, defensively, we were pretty good. Now let's see what we do in the second half, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think we're really close to being a good team. We just got to put some final pieces together and you know, who knows what can happen in the second half.
That's senior goaltender Jared Moe, who's matched up this weekend with one of the best goaltenders in all of college hockey, Notre Dame's Ryan Bischel. The Wisconsin women's hockey team returns to LeBron Arena this weekend to take on Minnesota Duluth, and we'll hear from head coach Mark Johnson next. This is the Wisconsin Hockey Hour from Learfield.
Wisconsin women's sports are elite. Badger volleyball, the reigning national champions. Women's hockey, one of the best of all time with 6 championships. Women's soccer, 2-time Big Ten champs. At UW Health, we're no different. We're proud to also be your home team with superior rankings, like #1 for orthopedics in Wisconsin, ready to treat any sports injury, and #1 hospital in the state, delivering award-winning care every day. So Wisconsin can keep on winning. UW Health. Remarkable.
Burgers stacked with mushrooms on Wisconsin Swiss cheese, or piled high with smoked brisket, crispy bacon, Wisconsin Gouda, lettuce, tomato, sweet barbecue sauce, and a fried pickle, or simply topped with cheese and fried onions, Monk's Bar and Grill offers classic and gourmet burgers for lunch, dinner, and game day. Whatever you are craving, Monk's has you covered with 6 locations statewide. Monk's Bar and Grill is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
Hey, Siri, what's a shouse?
That's okay, Siri. I got this. A shouse is a building with the secure storage of a Clary shed and the living space of a house. Combine the two and you get a shouse. We have so many options to create your very own shouse. Design your custom layout and choose from beautiful color and accessory options, all bundled with the industry-leading quality and warranty you expect from Clary. Visit clarybuilding.com today.
Hey Badger fans, American Family Insurance wants to give you and one friend a VIP experience at a Badger football or basketball game during the 2023 season. With pregame sideline or courtside passes, a tour of the facility, and tons of merchandise, it'll be an extra great day to be a Badger. Enter today at amfam.com/badgers. No purchase necessary. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Bedroom too hot? Basement too cold? A MyDia ductless system is the perfect solution for room-by-room comfort control without the headache of a major renovation. As you look for ways to maximize your space, MyDia can provide you with a customizable solution to meet your needs. To learn more, visit MyDiaMidwest.com. That's M-I-D-E-A Midwest.com. Proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober. Or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at ZeroInWisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
This is the Wisconsin Hockey Hour on the Badger Sports Network. Ryan Posick back with you, joined by Wisconsin women's hockey coach Mark Johnson, back from the holiday break. Actually played a couple of games out east against a very good Quinnipiac team, but how are your holidays?
Holidays were good. You know, as my kids get older and their families start to grow, it becomes a little bit more challenging to get everybody together at one time. And But we were able to do that for a short period of time, and it was a good break, and it's a good time to step away from hockey and spend time with your family and reminisce how the year went. And so it's also good to start up again. So we started pretty quickly with our games out in Quinnipiac, and you know, for 3 weeks or 3.5 weeks, we don't have school, and you know, you can just see the excitement in the players when they come to practice or get ready to play. It's just a good time of year to really put yourself in a position for a good second half, and that's what we'll try to focus on here the next couple weeks.
Yeah, and coming back from break, too, you hope that your players took care of themselves and maybe did some conditioning and didn't overindulge in some of the festivities, but you also want to take it easy on them, too. You've only got 14 games left. You want to make sure when the time comes, the most important time of the season, they're ready to go.
Yeah, and that's the biggest threat, that you have is that as a coach, you know, when you lose control, when your players leave you for a period of time, and if the period of time is 2 weeks or 2.5 weeks, we as coaches, we get nervous because, you know, the last message we tell these kids as they leave is don't be a couch patrol.
You know, couch potato?
Don't be a couch potato and, you know, hang out on that couch because, as I've told you in the past, and I tell a lot of people that it's tough to get into hockey shape. It takes a period of time and it takes a commitment, but it's a lot easier to get out of shape. It doesn't, you know, you get into certain routines, certain habits, and I learned that in the NHL where you start rolling. You want to stay. You don't want to take 2 or 3 days off because then you step on the ice. It's just, you're just not as comfortable. And so they did a pretty good job. They came back. We had 4 good practices. We had 2 good games out in Quinnipiac, and again, we had a good practice yesterday, so we're moving in that direction, and you know, the biggest thing is to continue to make progress and become a better team, and that's the whole objective of the season, is to each weekend you get tested, you evaluate it, you come back and practice on things that you need to improve on and continue to work on things that you're good at, and that's what we're navigating. We're going in that direction. You get everybody you know, in the same boat, and you're rowing the same way, and you know, generally you know, the second half of the season is in a position where, you know, our opportunities are going to be out there. As you mentioned, you got 14 games. We got Ohio State a couple weekends, we got up in Minnesota, we got Duluth this weekend, and so it's all right in front of you. And you know, if we focus on each game and each evening by itself, you know, then you have a chance to win that game, and that's what we're going to try and do.
I'm not saying this happened, but how quickly can you tell if a player didn't do what he or she needed to do during a break? Can you tell, like, almost immediately on the ice once you start practice again? Like, uh-oh.
Yeah, you get in the middle part of practice or the latter, you know, bits of practice, and we wear heart rate monitors. So, right. You know, you can go over to the bench and look at, you know, Brian Posick's heart rate in the middle of practice. And if you're in the red, that means your heart's like, are you recovering? You know, in the next drill, does your heart rate come back down to the point where when I do this next exercise, you know, I'm ready to go? And so it's like riding a bike. If I haven't ridden a bike in a long time and I jump on the bike, you know, the first little bit's a little awkward, but then I get comfortable. And the same thing with hockey, you know, sure. It's usually that third day. When we came back, that third day was going to be the challenging one. And once we got by the third day, then, you know, we get into games, and everybody'd rather play a game than practice at this time of year, I think. And so most of them did a really good job. Good. And the ones that that maybe slacked a little bit, you know, they had to catch up quickly.
Sure. Mark Johnson's with us. The Wisconsin women went out to Connecticut last weekend to start the second half, faced the fourth-ranked Quinnipiac Bobcats. They're very good. Very, very good club. And you win the opener 3-0. Britta Curl and Lacey Eden scored a couple of goals less than a minute apart in the third period to put that game away. Cammie Cronish with her 10th win, 5th shutout of the year. That was a good first game to come back to.
Yeah, she played well. She gets, especially in the first period, that was probably out of the 6 periods. Our first period Saturday afternoon was probably our weakest, where we gave up a bunch of chances because we weren't managing the puck very well. And Cammie, you know, probably made 2, 3, 4 saves that, you know, kept the game at 1-0, because we scored early on in that game with Nicole Almatina, you know, scoring on a goal, I don't know, probably 3 minutes into the game. But Cammie played really well. And then from that point on, the second, third period of Saturday's game, and then the 3 periods on Sunday's game, we played well. We didn't give up a lot. You know, both nights we gave up about 20 shots. And 12 of them, you know, the first night was in that first period. Right. And so it was five shots the next period, four shots the next period. And then the next night, you know, I thought our conditioning was pretty good. And we just couldn't score the second night. And their goaltender, you know, had one of those nights where she, you know, made four or five highlight reel type saves and we couldn't get to one. And some nights, if you can't get to one, it's not going to end out in the result you're looking for. But, you know, give them credit. As you mentioned, they've got an old team. They've got a good team. It's very similar to the team that we played here last year. And when your goaltender is playing well and you're defending well, you have a chance to win the game. And they were able to do that Sunday against us.
Yeah, Quinnipiac has two very good goaltenders. Logan Angers is the young lady the Badgers beat on Saturday. Then Katie Baudette was the goaltender on Sunday. She stopped all 34 shots she faced. And I noticed that Baudette has the best save percentage in the country at .985. She's only played eight games. Nevertheless, she was good, wasn't she?
Yeah, and undefeated.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, obviously her confidence level. And, you know, again, when these teams, you know, I call it packing it in, when these five players on your team come back and they're willing to block shots and make it difficult to get pucks to the net, and your goaltender is seeing things and, you know, making saves, you're giving your team a chance to win. And she did that, you know, even when we pulled the goalie with 3 minutes to go in the game, you know, we had two, three really good looks, but we couldn't get to one.
Right.
And so, because I felt all along, especially in the middle part of the game, if we got to one in the second period, she made a save on Layla Edwards that was just a highlight reel goal or save. You know, if we get 1-1 there, we're going to get to 2, 3, or 4 pretty quick. Yeah. Just because I thought our conditioning was good and we were moving well. And as I rewatched the game yesterday, the Sunday game, you know, as a coach, I've got the worst seat in the house. I can see some things, but you don't get a sense of how the entire game's going on. So when you watch it a second time, some nights you may think, well, we didn't play very well. And then you go watch it again. Oh, we weren't bad, and vice versa. Oh, boy, we really played well that night. And then I go back and look, we got some things
same
to thing work on.
Same thing as a broadcaster, too, yeah.
Yeah, it's sure. Same feeling. And so my feeling as I'm, you know, we're flying home was like, you know, I wasn't watching the game. So I said, I'll wait till tomorrow to see what it looks like in myself 24 hours. And I came in Monday morning and I watched it again. I was like, whoa, we did a lot of good things. So yesterday in our film session, you know, I'm showing probably 8, 9, 12 clips of things that we did really well, we need to continue to work on. And then we move forward against Duluth this weekend trying to do those things.
Sure. Nicole Amantia named the WCHA Defender of the Week. She had the game-winning goal on Saturday. I know you're not a stat guy, but she's 3 points from 100 for her career, which is excellent, tremendous for a defenseman. And she also has 10 goals this season. She's the first defender to score 10 goals for Wisconsin since Megan Mickelson in the 06-07 season. Now, that's saying something, isn't it?
It really is. And, you know, she probably could have had 2 or 3 goals in our Sunday game. And so she's very, sees the ice very well from a defensive perspective. And what I mean by that is, you know, as the puck's going into the offensive zone or up towards their net, she has a good tendency where to go, how to get there, how to, you know, get myself in position to get quality looks. And then she's got a nice shot. Mm-hmm. You know, she can pick the corner and hit spots. And that's why, you know, you look at 10 goals for a defenseman, you know, in women's hockey right now, that's powerful.
Yes.
You know, we watch KK play and her offensive ability as a defenseman too. And so the name of the game the last 3 or 4 or 5 years has been how active can you make your defenseman and what kind of offensive numbers can your defenseman give you? And the better your job of doing that, the more goals you're going to score, because as I mentioned earlier, some of these teams pack it in, and when they get five people in the defensive zone and they're structured in position, it's tough to get the, you know, pucks to the net and to get quality scoring opportunities. So what you try to work on is, as you enter the offensive zone, if you can get up to 3 players or 4 players, you're going to have a window, you know, 4 seconds, 6 seconds, 8 seconds, where they're not going to have everybody back. So can I get the puck into those areas? And Nicole does a great job of whether she's leading the rush or getting herself, and I call it white ice, where's sure. the space? Where can I find? And she's able to do that. And hopefully she'll continue the next 14 games, because she's put together a real nice career and want to finish off on a real strong note.
Yeah. Also last Saturday, Sophie Shirley with career assist number 100 and Britta Curl career point number 100, the 29th player in Badgers history to reach that. And anytime you hit a century mark in anything is pretty good, unless you're a baseball player and your average is 100, but otherwise,
or,
right?
Or you're Will Chamberlain, you get 100
right.
points in a basketball game.
Right,
that's
right,
really
right.
impressive.
Yeah.
But, you know, you eventually, you know, if you're consistent in your effort, mm-hmm. You know, you're doing things on a daily basis, basis and you're making strides to get better and you're around long enough, you're going to run into these numbers. And, you know, the two kids you mentioned, Sophie, you know, she's been pretty solid her entire career. You know, she's gotten better, has some ebbs and flows like any other player would, but scored some big goals for us. And, you know, the last third of the year last year in playoffs, she played really well. And she's had a great year this year. She came in and, you know, a big smile on her face, ready to go. And Britta's our captain and a leader. And, you know, for the last month and a half has put up some pretty good numbers, scored a bunch of goals. She's got a great shot. And we've tried to get her to shoot more. She's now shot more.
Right.
And she scored more. So it's
funny how that works, right?
It's really funny how sometimes that works. So
Wisconsin's home to play Minnesota Duluth Saturday at 1 o'clock, Sunday at 12 o'clock. At LeBron Arena. And, you know, we were talking about how many games are left in the regular season. As you look at the WCHA standings right now, Ohio State and Minnesota share first place with 41 points, but both teams have played 16 games. Wisconsin's 4 points back, two fewer games played. So really, it's all in your hands to win a regular season championship.
It is, you know, and so if you can take care of things at home, and then obviously we got to go down to Ohio State, and, you know, you pick games off here and there. And the whole thing is to try to play consistently and try to play well. So it's not about what the other team's going to do at this particular juncture. It's what we can do. And we're capable of beating anybody on any given night. And, you know, what do we want to do as a group? What do we want to do collectively as a team? And, you know, before you blink, this whole thing's going to be over and it's going to be, you know, the middle of April. And you don't want to have any regrets about right. what we did the last 2 months of the season here. And so that's the message I try to relay to the players, because if I'm a senior, if I'm Nicole, if I'm Jesse Comfer, you know, this is going to be my last kick at the can as far as college hockey. I might get hockey after this year, but it's not going to be with Wisconsin. So what do I want to do? So it's like throwing everything in and going after something and see what happens.
Yeah. The Badgers have their, it used to be their annual outdoor skate with fans. It returns to Vilas Park next Tuesday, January 10th. The Badgers will be outside and ready to meet and greet and skate with you. And, you know, this is something that I know the players like to do. Certainly the fans love it too, but because of COVID, hadn't been able to do it in a while, but now you get to do it again. So next Tuesday, that'll be pretty fun.
It'll be real fun. We look forward to it. Hopefully we get a big turnout. You know, I grew up playing a lot of outdoor hockey. I know some kids nowadays get a chance to play here and there, but you know, we used to have our city tournament in different locations around the city, all outdoors. I remember playing a state championship game up in Mosinee on the river outdoors. Ended up winning 2-1 in overtime. But there's, to me, and I've you know, for probably 15 years, you know, I built an outdoor rink in my backyard, even when my kids got older, so the neighborhood kids could come over and you flip the lights on. And if you like hockey and you like a big moon and the stars out and the temperature about maybe 10 or 15 degrees and the ice just freshly groomed, I mean, it's like a skier, you know, getting on a, you know, groomed ski run, and it's just like,
nice.
Same thing with ice. I mean, I used to go on my back door rink just by myself sometimes and just skate around with a big moon out there, and people thought I was crazy when I flipped the lights on. But we look forward to the skate with our fans. I mean, that's the nice thing, that we have a group of people that are willing to come and support us. I know the Fill the Bowl that's coming up in about a month. We got a bunch of tickets already out. If you don't have your tickets and you want to see a good entertainment, you know, women's hockey, come on and join us. It'll be a special evening. We do it every 3, 4, 5 years, and you know, we get the support from the community, and our players will look forward to meeting the fans and without their helmets on and their cages on, and actually get to see these young ladies and talk with them for a while. So it'll be a special evening.
Yeah, again, outdoor skate at Vilas Park Tuesday, January 10th, next Tuesday at 6 o'clock. By the way, the Fill the Cole is Friday, February 3rd at 7 o'clock against St. Cloud State. Go to uwbadgers.com for more information about that. Well, Duluth, you know, they're a pretty good club. Emma Soderberg's a really good goaltender. Gabby Hughes, Ashton Bell. I mean, they've got some talent. Now, they're in fourth place right now, quite a bit behind you in Minnesota and Ohio State. But in any given day, any given weekend, they can really take it to you.
Yeah, they're, you know, you look at Quinnipiac and we talk about their structure. Duluth's very similar. They're structured. They defend very well. You mentioned Ashton Bell. You know, she's in the same breath as Nicole LaMattia. Mm-hmm. you know, as Jacques down at Ohio State. She'll if you come and watch us play, you'll see her with a puck a lot because she's a very gifted skater. She plays defense, but she's a rover. She's all over the ice, has a puck a lot, and really adds another dimension. You know, obviously, playing on the Canadian Olympic team helped her. And then at Gabby Hughes, you know, gets another year, and, you know, she put up huge numbers and was a top player in our league last year. So from a offensive standpoint, those two players you have to be conscious of. And again, you know, I'm trying to reflect on what we've been doing well. And, you know, if we keep getting chances and get pucks in the net, that's going to be our strength. But it'd be two good games. And then, you know, we get done with this weekend, then we're down to Columbus against, you know, the number one team in the country in their barn, which is little and small. And so, yeah, it's to me, it's fun because, you know, after Quinnipiac, that sets you up for the second half because now you're up to speed. You've played a good opponent. You've played against a bunch of good defensemen. You know what that pace is like. You've been challenged by the other team's goaltender. And now we get to do it again this weekend. Then we get to do it again next weekend. And so by doing that three weekends in a row, you're going to get better. Mm-hmm. You may not win all the games, but the whole objective is to keep improving, keep getting better. And now as we get into the latter part of January, early February, you're playing your best hockey. And that's when you want to be playing your best hockey.
Sure. Good luck against the Bulldogs.
Thank you.
Sure,
that should be fun.
Yes, Wisconsin women's hockey coach Mark Johnson, the Badgers in UMD, Saturday at 1 o'clock, Sunday at noon at Le Bon Arena. We'll wrap things up in a moment. This is the Wisconsin Hockey Hour from Learfield.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, "I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action." Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full-time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope. To give them hope that mom is going to be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
Thursdays at 11:30, we are joined by Dr. Michael McCutcheon, who is a psychologist, a lecturer, and additionally, he's won 10,000 fantasy football leagues and loves to help people make easy, free money. Dr. Mike fixes your life and your lineup.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Well, we took a couple of weeks off from our weekly radio show, and we'll take another couple of weeks off now too. Our next edition of the Wisconsin Hockey Hour comes your way on Tuesday, January 24th. In between, the Wisconsin men's hockey team has Notre Dame at home this weekend. Next Friday, the 13th, the U.S. Under 18 team will be in town for a 7 o'clock exhibition. Also, January 20th and 21st, the Badgers are home to play Ohio State. Both of those games start at 7 o'clock. And as for the Wisconsin women, after this weekend's home series against Minnesota Duluth, Mark Johnson's club heads to Columbus to play top-ranked Ohio State January 13th and 14th, and then back at LeBron Arena January 21st and 22nd against Minnesota State. Mark Johnson and Tony Granato will rejoin us for the next edition of the Wisconsin Hockey Hour on January 24th. A big weekend for the Badgers to start the second half, just 1-9 in conference play, but have deserved better at times. And if Jared Moe plays the way he played last week at the Quick Trip Holiday Faceoff, the Badgers should be in pretty decent shape. Also, the return of Charlie Stramel would help, as well as Ty Smolanic. So again, Wisconsin hockey this weekend, Friday night. Pregame coverage starts at 6:30, and then Saturday at 5 p.m. against the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame. And by the way, the Wisconsin women's hockey games against Duluth, Saturday at 1 and Sunday at noon. You can watch both on the Big Ten Network. For Dave McCann, Mark Johnson, Tony Granato, I'm Brian Posick. Thanks for listening to the Wisconsin Hockey Hour from Learfield.
You've been listening to the Wisconsin Hockey Hour, brought to you by Monk's Bar and Grill, Wisconsin grown, Wisconsin proud. Monk's Bar and Grill is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Badger Sports Network.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Snow likely tonight, otherwise overcast. Lows level off around 30, easterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Snow likely again tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 32, cloudy skies expected. Chance for snow showers tomorrow night, lows around 15. About an inch of snow tonight through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 32.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
You're tuned.